And as we come before our Lord in our time of sermon, I pray that God will bless you with these words. Come with me before the Lord this day. Father God, we lift our hearts to you. We lift our spirits to you, that you would edify us, that you would educate us, that you would instruct us unto thy will and thy way during this time. For Lord God, this is our present. It is the gift that you have given us. And when we look around, O Lord, many are in distress. But Father, may we realize that with you in control, there is nothing for us to fear, but we have the perfect love of Christ Jesus, and he is our sustainer, our keeper. So Father God, I pray that you would use me as your vessel. May the words that I speak be your words. Cover me, O Lord, that I am not present, but thy Spirit is and bringing forth your word. And may the hearers of your word be blessed, be rejuvenated, be strengthened, and be the church of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Today's sermon is entitled, Do Not Be Afraid. And you can take your Bibles and turn there if you have your Bible and you want to follow us with your Bible. We're going to be in the book of Joshua. That's where we're going to start, the book of Joshua. And as we're looking there, we got to find Joshua. There he is at the beginning of the Bible. As we're looking there, I want you to think about where we find ourselves today. We're going to be in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. Where we find ourselves today can be a very concerning place. But I don't want you to be afraid of where you find yourself, okay? When you and I are in Christ, there is a strength that he gives us. God never wants us to be alone. There is never a time when God is absent from us. Each and every one of us needs to understand that during this time, this is our time to show the strength and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And right now, some people are a little trepidatious, but the reality is that's the fear-mongering that's coming in from outside this world. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But during these times, I want you to know that God has a truth, a very real truth, that can change everything in your life right now. And in the book of Joshua, we're going to read just that. From the sixth verse of the book of Joshua, in the first chapter, we read these words. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. At this time, when we're looking at what was going on here with Joshua, many people, you know, we think about this stuff in context. We have to think about this stuff in context. We cannot take things out of context. And at the time when Joshua was being told this by God, when God was leading Joshua into the place of instructing the people in coming into the land and what they were going to do and how they were going to do it, Joshua had no idea. God had really had very few conversations with Joshua, if any, up to this point in time. He spoke with Moses. So I can only imagine how Joshua felt. He had 1 million people, or actually about 3.5 to 4 million people, following him, going into the land. They had been wandering for 40 years. And we need to understand, right now, we've got 350 million people in the United States. We've been going about this thing, but we've been led politically to this point. We have been led socioeconomically to this point. And what do I mean by that? The powers that be, and when I say that, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, the powers that be, and I'm talking the structures, the powers that are outside of this physical world, are leading us to the place where God's word is already leading us. That's why he told Joshua to meditate on this word day and night. You and I cannot allow this word to part from us. Okay, remember what I told you, because here it speaks of the law. Please remember, when this was spoken to Joshua, all they had been given was the law, the first five books of the Pentateuch. Okay? All they had was God's law. We have the fullness of God's law in Christ Jesus. Okay? Please remember, what does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Okay, so when we think about this, Jesus gave us everything. The apostles finished the writing. We now know the full extent of everything he has for us. And when we look at this word, when we look at God's revelation, he's got the answers in here for us. Now, that means we need to look at it. We need to read it. And as we begin to read this book, we're going to see that he addresses the things of our world, past, present, and future. And I'm going to tell you right now, this book has never been wrong. Never been wrong. It points to the truth of the way, which is Christ Jesus. And he is the life that we need to live. So dear brothers and sisters, I pray that you will be strengthened by this. And what kind of strength does God give us? Where does that strength come from? This is really kind of neat. It's one little scripture. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. And we're going to be in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. And verse 7. Chapter 1. And verse 7, one little verse, okay? I think it's amazing because I'm using one verse. But we sing a song that says, one word will fell them, okay? That's the strength of God's word. One word can fell them. And that word, of course, we all know is Jesus, all right? In that word, when we speak that word into this world, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. There is victory in his name. But you and I, God gives us a verse to cling to. During this time, I want you to cling to this verse. It's verse 7. It says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Did you catch that? You know, a lot of people focus on that. You know, he didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but of power. Folks, he gave us a triune spirit. Okay, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He gave us power. He gave us love, and he gave us discipline. If we will hold on to those three measures will guide us into all things of life. We will have nothing to fear because we will have the strength. We will have the fortitude. That's where love comes in. Love gives us that fortitude that we can conquer all things because the love of God is in us, the strength of God is in us, but then we need to walk in discipline, which means what? Obeying God's word, looking to God's word, and knowing that his word is true and he has a hope for you. That hope, dear brothers and sisters, is a reality that all of us need to cling to in this time. There are so many people out there that are looking for hope. And if we're going to be the church, we need to be reaching out. We cannot walk in fear. We can't be afraid to go outside. We can't be afraid to interact with people. I think it's kind of funny, and I'm going to bring this up. Brother Bob here gave me a mask earlier, and he said, Here's one of these masks, Pastor, if you want to make a joke. And I'm like, no, I don't want to make a joke. You know, this isn't a joke. And I'm not coming against Brother Bob because we are having fun with this because it's just strange. You know, beginning Monday, tomorrow, You cannot go out into public without having a mask on, according to our Governor Wolf. And that's okay. That is something we can do. But I want you to think, is that mask going to protect you? Is that mask going to keep you from getting coronavirus? No. No, it will not. Will it help? Possibly. If you have it, it may help from giving it to someone else. But what help is it going to be to us? Brothers and sisters, our help comes from the Lord. He is the one who will watch over us. These things that we cannot see, these things that we cannot fight, only he can fight them. And we fight them by calling upon the name of our Lord. You know, I've had a lot of people over these last couple of weeks say things to me such as, Pastor, I can't see this virus. I can't fight it. I don't know what to do. And they're afraid to go out, okay? I know for Lynn and myself, we don't go out. We don't go out much at all. And the reason for that is I'm on the high-end list, all right? We don't have that many people here in Lebanon that have it. But the reality is I'm on the high-end list. If I get this thing accidentally with my asthma, it could be pretty bad. Am I afraid of it? No. I go out every day. I go out. I'm in my backyard. I go to the store when I need to go to the store. I wear gloves. I wear a mask. But I also don't do things stupid, like touching my face after I have the mask on and my gloves on. Because if you're touching shopping carts and doorknobs and all that other stuff, you're picking that stuff up. Think about what you're doing. Remember, isolation means isolation. Don't be touching yourself once you have put these things on. It's about operating in that which is right, that which is good, setting the parameters around ourselves to give us protection. Well, we're talking a physical and a spiritual reality here, because we know right now that there's a physical thing out there called coronavirus. But I want us also to understand that this thing, this coronavirus, is also an extremely spiritual reality. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians, because I want you to see how God wants us to walk and how he wants us to be. From the book of Ephesians, we are going to go to chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 10 through 18. And many of you know these scriptures. I have preached them so many times. But to you today, I want you to look at these verses, because I want us to understand our struggle is not against a virus, but about something else unseen. From chapter 6, beginning in the 10th verse through 18. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray. And what? And pray. We are to be prayer warriors. Right now, God is telling us we are not fighting against physical things right now. We are fighting against a very real spiritual power. And that spiritual power is that which is driving this stay at home, you know, don't contact each other, you know, shutting down churches, shutting down schools, shutting down the gathering of people. This is coming completely and totally against who we are as humans in our nature. We are extremely social creatures. And if this social connection can be broken, so too can we be broken. There are so many people right now that are going through depression. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this unseen thing. Yes, there's a virus out there. It has affected just about 2% of our population. It's a little over 2% right now of our population. That is the population of the United States. The influenza affects far more people than that. And we're talking just a normal flu. They keep telling us that they want to save lives, but every abortion clinic in this United States is still running strong, and they're killing more babies every day than have died by this thing. Do you think for one moment that they really care? And I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about the ones behind this. Because this whole thing is meant to drive us to a place of desperation where we will take whatever comes our way that looks like salvation. He has already come, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he is telling us right now, you put on that full armor. You put on the truth. You put on righteousness. You put on the gospel. You put on, you put on, you put on Jesus Christ every moment of every day, and he will guide you along the way of life and truth. And you will have nothing to fear. Yes, this virus is real. So is a common cold. So is cancer. It is appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. I'm going to tell you right now, this whole thing, when you look at this sociopolitically, it is aimed at separating us, separating God out, with us becoming God. If you're listening to some of the things that are coming out of some of these people's mouths that are speaking during this time, telling us that God has nothing to do with it, that we did this, he's right. The governor who said that, he's right. We did this. We brought this virus upon ourselves because this virus was made by men. And you and I need to understand that. Do you get this truth? It is real. And brothers and sisters, it's our sin. It is the sin of humanity. Please remember, the things that happen to us not necessarily because you have sinned. But they happen to us because sin is in our world and we have brought it to ourselves. But God has given us the wherewithal to circumvent that reality and to change that reality, that we would once again become the image of Jesus Christ, that we would be the image of God in its fullness. And when we walk in those measures, when we begin to do what Jesus has done, as we learned from Joshua, to meditate on this word. And it's funny because when God tells us to meditate on it, he doesn't mean just to read it. He means to think it through and then to do it, to become this word. Because it's in this that we're going to find the strength to get through every day. And nothing out there can affect us because we know our eternity is sure. It is appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment. And brothers and sisters, the only judgment we're going to have when we're in Christ Jesus is the judgment of works, because Jesus took upon himself the judgment of sin, and we've been set free. So our judgment is going to be one of receiving crowns. How many crowns are we going to receive? And it amazes me because it's at this point in time that I need to tell you a couple of things, and this is just stuff that, this is our church, our little church, the Heart of Christ Church. I want you to understand what you are doing out there. I received a letter just yesterday as I'm going over my sermon stuff, and I took a break, so I checked some emails, and I got a letter from ICII, Independent Church in India. And in that letter was two testimonies. One from a gentleman in India, from a father who, things in India are a whole lot different depending on the caste that you're in. And this young man works in the marketplace. He sells vegetables for other people. He doesn't grow them himself. He sells them for other people. He's a merchant. And if he doesn't work on any given day, he does not have food for his family because they work by what they call daily wages. And when I say daily wages, it's enough to feed your family, and that's about it. Feed your family, and hopefully if you have a mortgage or owe some money to pay on that. Well, this gentleman is living in his family's home. They've had it for a while. It's not a big house. But he works daily wages, which means if he doesn't work, his family doesn't eat. And his family was to the point where they were eating small portions of rice because it was all they had, and they would only get one small portion every day because that was all the food they had. Because during this time of corona, it's everywhere. And we think we have it bad because we can't socialize. Folks, we know there are people here in the United States that aren't eating too. We know that there are kids who are going to bed hungry. And we need to be the Church of Jesus Christ. This young man thanked us, those of us who support ICII, because Pastor Brito, as you all know, went out and he took food to these peoples. Now, this man's been a Christian for 4 or 5 years. I can't remember what the write-up said. It was either 4 or 5 years he's been a follower of Christ. And Pastor Brito went to his house and gave him food. He had no idea what they were going to eat because he's not working. He has no way of giving his family anything to eat. And Pastor Brito gave them a huge, I think it's like a 40-pound bag of rice, plus some other supplements to go with it so that they can at least have one good meal a day. And he said, and now I know that Jesus has not forgotten me. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Brothers and sisters, this is how we are helping others understand that they don't have to be afraid. Make your petition known unto the Lord. I want you to think about something right now. When you and I examine the scriptures speaks to us in ways of truth that you and I need to grab a hold of with all that we are, especially during this time right now, because there are people that need help. Jesus was in the temple one day, and he was sitting there, and he was watching, and if you watch our Bible study later this week, you're going to get this because it's part of our Bible study. It's part of our discipleship study. He was watching as the scribes and the chief priests and everybody came and put their tithes, gifts, and offerings into the treasury. And then he watched this one little woman come in, this widow. She came in. And she put in 2 mites. And he said to his disciples, surely I tell you, she has given more than all of them together. For she gave out of her need, and they gave out of their surplus. But she gave all that she had, all that she owned. Here's a woman who understood, even those 2 mites that she had, they were God's. And she trusted God so explicitly that she gave everything she had, the last that she had, what she could have used to feed herself and her children, she gave so that others might receive. Because it's in our giving of ourselves, of our tithes, of our gifts, and of our offerings. Please remember, I've taught you well. Your tithes, gifts, and offerings are not just money, but it's you. It is you. It is your heart moving in the gospel of Jesus Christ, reaching out to touch a life, to know that there's worth in that person, and that you can share the hope you have of eternity with them. Today, I want you to think about the mites and think about what we can give. here in these next couple of days, this next week is going to be a huge week for our church because we're going to start putting out a whole lot more stuff on this internet platform. We're going to be restarting our Bible study that we were looking at righteousness, and we're going to finish the righteousness, and then we're going to go into, or we're finishing, yeah, it's finishing righteousness, and then we're going to go into our next study the following time we get together. We're going to have our very first prayer meeting time on Zoom. We're going to continue with our discipleship time, and we're also looking through our children's education to actually offer children's church during the week one day. I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but there are several wonderful ladies working on that right now where they're literally going to put together a teaching that's going to be, you know, 15, 20 minutes just for the kids, geared directly to them so that our children can hear the Word of God and can be immersed in that truth and that reality of coming together, even though we're apart, and being in the presence of God, feeding upon His Word. There are so many ways that we can give our mites in this time, in this pandemic, as it's called. I like to call it a panic because that's what they've turned it into. And you and I have the wherewithal through the love of God that when we put on the full armor, there is nothing that we should fear, and we need to be those warriors praying to God, and then moving in accordance to His Spirit and the direction that He wants us to go. And I pray that today you can see that in not just the church, but in your own life. How can you reach out to somebody out there and love them? They need to know the love that we have. We should not be afraid. And for those of you who are experiencing this and you're looking at what you can do, and you may be out there who knows where, oftentimes just a prayer sent up with someone. Pick up the telephone, call a friend, and if they have concerns, pray with them right there over the phone. Don't be afraid to call upon the name of Jesus on a telephone. You know, I have one of our deacons, he says to me years ago, he used to say to me, you know, Pastor Rich, he says, I like to get a hold of you because I know you got the hotline to God. You got that red phone. Brothers and sisters, we all got that red phone. It's called the cross of Jesus Christ, and through His blood shed on the cross of Calvary, we have a direct line to the Father. And all we have to do is access it through our spirits. And God is waiting on the other end to hear our petitions and then to act. For I will never leave you nor forsake you, He says. The same letter that came with that young gentleman came with one from the leprosy colony. Most of you know what that looks like with the folks there, fingers missing, feet missing, open sores. Nobody gives them anything. The government came and closed down the leprosy colony because, of course, you can understand coronavirus was probably going pretty strong through some of those colonies because they're the least of the peoples. And they were literally starving to death. Many of them were not eating at all. And again, through ICII, Pastor Brito and his people there, they went because they couldn't get in. Because they had it shut down that you could not get in. But what they did do was take food to them. And now they're able to eat. They had brought enough food for this entire colony for 1 month that they could all eat one good meal a day. And brothers and sisters, that's because you moved in your hearts to support missions. We are making a difference in our world. But we need to remember home right now because our world got a whole lot smaller with this because we can't be out there doing a lot of things. So look at it on that cataclysmic eclipse or whatever you wish to call it, that it's not, it doesn't have to be this big. It can be this big right where you are. Who can you touch? Who can you love? How can you help? And sometimes it's just letting somebody know that you care and that you love them. Because in doing so, you're telling them that God cares and God loves them. We have to come together in this, not fall apart. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and we are more than conquerors through him who strengthens us. So let us be those conquerors. Today, I want to take you to two scriptures to help us understand that truth. The first scripture is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. It's one verse, but oh, what a verse. Because again, God tells us this so many times in his book because he knows that we live in a world that runs by fear. And perfect love, Jesus Christ, casts out all fear. This is the word of the Lord from Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And when we can hold on to that, when we can grab a hold of that and understand that God is there, he's never going to leave us. Don't be anxious about anything. Walk in the strength of the Lord and remember it's his righteousness upholding us. Then we can turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude is only one chapter, several verses. And from verses 17 through 23, we can become this truth in our world. And I pray it's a truth that in your strength, as you have drawn strength from this message, that you will hold to and that you will allow God to use you where you are, even if it's just encouraging the people who are living with you. And remember this, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause division, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some having mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. What's he saying there to us? He's telling us, brothers and sisters, that we need to hang on to what we know is true. Because if we don't hang on to it, we're going to fall away in ourselves because fear will overtake us. But then he says to us that we are to have mercy on some who are doubting. Those who are weaker in their faith, we need to bolster them up. That's why we come together as the ecclesia, the church. Because we gather together to strengthen one another, to encourage one another. And during this time, the only gathering we're going to have is when you reach out to those who are out there. You need to understand your out there is right where you are right now. And you are important. You are the ambassadors of Christ. We are a royal priesthood. And it's so amazing because it says, save others, snatching them out of the fire. There are people literally going to hell right now, and they're scared because they don't know what to do, and they are looking for the salvation that we know, and you have that word in you. Don't be afraid to speak it. God will give you the words to say. You don't need to know it all. All you need to know is him. He'll use you where you are, the way you are, because he loves you. Did you hear me say that? He loves you. And he's going to use you to love others. And as you do, hold on to that mercy that you know. Hold on to the faith that you know. Because that faith, if it be but a mustard seed, is enough to cast a mountain into the sea. And this thing that's around us looks like a pretty big mountain. Reality, in the scheme of eternity, it's not even a molehill. And we will overcome. For God has spoken it, and I believe it. Do you? I leave you this day with our benediction from verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
You have been watching a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.